Hi, I'm the Strategist Cowboy. This week's first contestant is a brown Swedish ale from the brewery Smith Street Brew, located in Hedemora. The beer's names are in review order. Brown Ale from Smith Street Brew vs. West Indies Porter from Guinness.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Our first contestant this week is the Brown Ale beer assortment, simply called Brown Ale Autumn, from Smith Street Brew, located in Ingvallspenning, Hedemora, in the premises that formerly belonged to Oppigårds Brewery. Their production mainly consists of IPAs and other types of ale. But why do they call their beer autumn? They say they don't follow trends, but I think of October Festival when I read autumn. But I may be unfair, they have got a winter ale too. But no spring ale and no summer ale. And their website is crap, but certainly not trendy. The ingredients in brown ale are water, barley malt, hops, and yeast. The malts are of the sorts Cara Munich 3, Cara Aroma, Caramel 100, and Pilsner malt. The hops are of the sorts Columbus, Cashmere, and Equinod. The beer is a darker ale since it is called brown ale. The best before date on this particular beer is July 2024. Today it is early January 2024. The brown ale beer assortment comes in a size 50 centiliters, i.e. an about 17 liquid ounces bottle. The bottle label is one-folded, and with a complete lack of imagination, as it is totally white in color, but with black text. The bottle at least has an imaginary stylish token text on top, that I make out to say Smith. The token text looks a little bit like the Chinese written scripture text, except it's not. It seemed to be a bit of a brain teaser. The brown ale cost me 33 kronor at Systembolaget. That is about $3.25. That is 76 cents per every 4 ounces of beer. A low price for a Swedish ale. A low price for any ale. According to Systembolaget, the preferred serving temperature on this beer assortment is between 10 to 12 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 50 to 54 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperatures. The brown ale from Smith Street Brew has got a 5.5% ABV level. 5.5%. How about the experience then?
Okay, I don't want to open it too quick. I think it will squirt out a lot of beer or foam. Okay, good. It
it's an art to open a beer. At least one. Yeah, it is. Okay, it's got a 4 fingers tall head. Let's see. Almost a Pilsner aroma. Yeah, Pilsner aroma. One moment. It's reddish in color. Red in color. And I can see my fingers through the glass still, but we'll see later on. First impression, better than I thought it would be. It's rich. Let me see. Yeah. Is it bread-like? I think it is. Wort bread-like. And it looks like it's... If it is... a little bit yeasty. I think. But it may be... It's difficult. It's hoppy. And well, taste on my palate. What is this taste I'm sensing? Is it coffee? Or what is it? It's a little bit on the sweet side. And it's very hoppy. And bitter. Yeah, perhaps a bit smoky. Yeah, I'd say so. It's is it on the sweet side? No, it's between sweet and not. Sweet and dry. I haven't. I find it hard to evaluate this beer. I can't get what is the taste in it, or the flavors in it. I'm having a hard time discerning from flavors between flavors here. So it's not fruity. It shouldn't be, it's a dark beer, a brown beer, a brown ale. Carbonation level. It's got many different kinds of malt in it, and hops too. So I'm having a hard time. It's anyway, it's not creamy. It's not acidic and there are no aberrations. It's dark roasted. I would say that it's not very much filtered. I don't think it is, but is it well balanced? Yeah, I'd say that it is. Wort bread flavor, I said that, and let's see. It's a complex beer. Coffee taste, yeah. It's an okay beer. It's a really pretty good. But I can't say anything about this period, almost anything. Okay, what about grading then? How many devils do I grade this beer? That is big for me. I grade this beer. Seven devils out of 10 possible. And it's the difficulty in discerning the different malts and hops in it that makes it a difficult beer to review. So, what can I say? Let's move on to our next contestant. Our second contestant for this week is the West Indies Porter from Guinness in freaking Ireland. But it's Dublin, the nice part of Ireland. Do I need to introduce you to Guinness? I don't think so. New non-Irish owner since 1999, though. Difficult to ascertain by searching on the internet whether the owner is an American company or if it is a British one. Perhaps a bit of both. It is a merging company. The ingredients in this beer assortment are water, barley malt, barley, roasted barley, hops, and yeast. And hear, hear, carbon dioxide or CO2, CO2. Most breweries don't want to announce that because it is a greenhouse gas, but it means it got bubbles. The Irish never have been keen on being politically correct. The best before date on this particular beer is March 2024. At present date, it is early January 2024. The West Indies Porter assortment comes in a size 50 centiliters, i.e., an about 17 liquid ounces bottle. The bottle is unique and stylish, chubby but a handful. The two-folded bottle front label is yellow and classic and looks almost like a cop's badge in its contours. It has got a little harp instrument on it and on the cap. It's their logo. The West Indies Porter assortment from Guinness in Ireland costs 36 kronor, i.e. about $3.50. That is 82 cents per every 4 ounces of beer. I would say that this is a reasonable price for an ale from the famous brewing company Guinness. Well, wouldn't you? According to Systembolaget, the preferred serving temperature on this beer assortment is between 8 to 10 degrees Celsius, i.e. about 46 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. The brewery says nothing about preferred serving temperatures. The beer assortment has got a 6% ABV. 6%. How about the experience then? pouring with my left hand here. I'm not so good at that. I'm right-handed. Nice stout porter aroma. It's pitch black and it's got about a 2 fingers tall head, so not so tall. First impression. I like it. I should like it. I mean, it's freaking Guinness. It's but Guinness, I think that Guinness is a little bit overrated, but they do make good beers. It's rich. It's not bread like. It's not yeasty. Or is it? No, oh, it's a dark beer. Is it malty then? I'd say so. Taste on my palate. Actually, well, is it sweet or dry? It's somewhere in between. Bitter or hoppy? Bitter and hoppy, or kind of hoppy, but not very much. Not very bitter either. Is it smoky? I don't think so. And it's not candy-like, it's not fruity-like, or is it? Is there any fruitiness in it? Perhaps some citrus fruit. It's not acidic, but it's a little bit sour in its taste. So some fruitiness can be in there, maybe in there. It is a little bit sour, but in a good way. Spices. Not that I can sense. The undertone is fruity, citrus, lemon fruit like. Carbonation level. I guess I was just about to burp. It's okay, it's a good level. Well, not much more to say. Is it creamy? No, no, not really. Not as much as Guinness, the standard beer. Guinness. It's not acidic, but it's sour, and there are no aberrations. And it's dark roasted. thoroughly filtered anyway, but maybe it's filtered, I don't know. This beer is a difficult beer too, to ascertain the taste, discern the taste in. It's difficult. I mean, the tastes or the flavors merge with each other. I don't think it's very much filtered. But some, perhaps. Is it well balanced? Of course it is. It's a Guinness. It's their thing. Let's see if there are any more flavors in it. It's got a chocolatey taste. And it's raisin-like. It's raisin-like. Almost a little vanilla taste, like. Okay, what about grading then? How many devils do I grade this beer? I grade it 8 or 9 devils out of 10 possible. But which? I graded 8 devils out of 10 possible. Okay, absolutely don't drink and operate heavy machines, military or civilian. Drink responsibly or not at all. Don't drink at all if you're underage or pregnant. Russian missile attacks on several Ukrainian cities. In an article by Esther Ekot from 2023-12-29, quote, during the morning, several cities in Ukraine were subjected to Russian rocket attacks. This is reported by the AFP news agency. In the capital Kyiv, several explosions have been heard and the population has been urged to seek shelter. The cities of Kharkiv and Lviv have been hit by Russian missiles, and in several other places air raid alerts have been activated. The attacks are believed to be a response to reports that Ukraine destroyed a Russian warship in the Black Sea. End quote. Rogers comment. Another pointless terror attack on Ukraine was carried out. What were the targets for these attacks? The answer is civilians. What was the motive for this major attack? The answer is revenge. Revenge for the expeditionary ship Ukraine damaged right at Christmas time as a Christmas present to the Ukrainian people. So, Russia attacked Ukrainian civilians right after Christmas as a sweeping vengeance for an act of war in a legitimate Ukrainian military operation. It wasn't a form of revenge by Russia, you might say. Okay. So Russia uses this kind of alleged warfare as recurring regular terror attacks on civilians then? Russia is a country of war criminals. They have repeatedly violated the Geneva Convention from high to low in command. Nobody wants to have anything to do with Putin's Russia any longer. I am fully on Ukraine's side. Sweden should help Ukraine fight its war more and better. There are plenty of ways to do that. It doesn't necessarily have to be by supplying them with weapons, weapon systems, or ammunition. We are going to need some weapons for our own use later. I have no illusions. Russia may very well attack parts of Sweden next, since Putin is Hitler and Russia is his new and shiny Third Reich. We can help Ukraine, not only with weapons, but also with engineering, with electrical equipment, with medical equipment, with temporary housing facilities, etc. And the source for this was SR Ekot. And now I'm going to go into more deep on the American issue. But surely America has had it with immigration. This week I'm going to crush the fake idea that the US in the past have had such a high numbers of immigrants from what Donald Trump calls shit countries, basically third world countries, that the Americans had no real alternative but to resort to wall building, police brutality and pure racism against people from Mexico and the rest of the third world. Still, the US isn't even among the biggest recipients of immigrants in the West. Yet they think they have the right to go against God now. What makes them think that? How many Americans were born outside of the US? Let us look at some statistics. About 45 million people living in the United States in 2021 were born in other countries. 45 million people. The US had 335 million inhabitants in 2021. That is 1 in 7.5 who were born in other countries, or about 8.8% on average per state. Some of them got married to Americans. Remember those figures, because I am going to compare them with the figures of Sweden. Source for this was SBO.gov, the foreign-born population, the US economy, and the federal budget from April 5th, 2023. But let us first take a look at some of the US states separately. California comes in first with 27.1% foreign-born. New York comes in second with 21.2% foreign-born. Ohio, perhaps the most Trump state, comes in last with 1.4% foreign-born. Ohio is pretty much a Northeast territory. Texas, bordering Mexico with 1,254 miles, has got just 16.4% foreign-born. Well, everything is relative. Florida has 19.4% foreign-born. Many of the US states have got very low numbers of foreign-born, like 4 to 6% or so. The source was Migration Policy Institute. Now let us take a look at my country, Sweden. Every fifth resident of Sweden was born abroad, the fifth highest proportion in the EU. Malmö alone has 35% foreign-born, 35% in 2021. Of Sweden's 10.5 million inhabitants in 2022, 2.1 million were born abroad, a share of 20%. After Luxembourg, Malta, Cyprus and Austria, it was the largest share. This is shown by statistics from Eurostat. For people born outside the EU, Sweden had the third highest percentage in the EU, 14.9%. And the source for this was Europaportalen. And that is why God is on Sweden's side now. You know, the Christian God, Jesus and all that. You didn't wait until the 77 times 7 had passed America. God will have no more of Mr. Trump's America. It is still Trump's America, isn't it? I stole your cowboy hat. I stole your image. I stole your language. Like the Romans stole the toga and the pantheons and the mythology from the Greeks. May God continue to bless Sweden. Yet, we are going to be the ones surviving the next 1,000 years as a nation while you turn into another third world shit country, as Donald Trump puts it, with a dogmatic belief in a bogus god and race. Not bogus god because he doesn't exist, but because the god you revere isn't really god at all. But the real reason is how you have treated the anatomically perfect woman, Tina. Pure persecution. And it is not just imagination. In 2019, Wall Street was reported to have concocted the scheme TINA, or There Is No Alternative, TINA, as they called it. It didn't make much of a difference from before, but it showed that the US administration under Trump hadn't reconsidered. Even since the early 90s, you have persecuted her. Sydsvenska Dagbladet even wrote a piece about Mickey Rourke, the sack of lard self-proclaimed tough guy who visited Lund to harass her. Photo proof and all. She wouldn't want a turd like him. US presidents have known since at least Bill Clinton, perhaps even George Herbert Walker Bush, that the key to making Sweden implode is sweeping the feet under Tina, because she is Sweden. And I am the male living miracle God appointed to be hers, and she mine. It's business as usual. Follow the money. They are at least as evil as ISIS nowadays, and 30 years back even. That is why God is dismantling their country structure. Albeit, his pace certainly isn't my pace, because if it was, they would have been scavenging the dumping grounds by now. But Roger, why would the US want to make Sweden a spoil of war? Because war brides and the like have never been seen as a problematic immigration to the US. It is considered beneficial. Besides, making Sweden implode fits into the US world plan to hog the rest of the world's oil and resources for the Five Eyes countries at our expense. Our being Europe and China. But fuck China. Having said all this, and being all sassy and such, I must say that certain parts of the US probably still refuse to participate in the witch hunt, if they are even aware of it. No pun intended, since Tina is no witch. There is at least one US state holding the banner high. I'm thinking of Utah. Not all of Utah, but a sufficiently large portion of the populace, politicians, and religious leaders. They may even be able to save the US for a while. Perhaps several hundreds of years, until they finally succumb to dogma themselves, becoming a Catholic Church, i.e. a state religion as in US religion. But for us Swedes, there is a light in the tunnel beyond the next 1,000 years, plus the new Viking era. Exactly the way it was for the Vikings. And here we are. Enjoy! And the sources for this were Europaportalen and Migration Policy Institute. My name is Roger Klang. Thank you and see you later, alligator, at a while, crocodile.